Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
The text for our meditation today is our Old Testament lesson, which is also going to be paired with the epistle, but here again this portion from Jeremiah 31, "No longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." This is the text. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, dear friends, what's this? A forgetful God? I thought God knew everything. That's what we learn in confirmation class, after all. Any of you who had had me for second year know we talk about those three omnis, right? One of them being that God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. Well, if he's really all-knowing, then how can he be forgetful? How can he not remember things? Today's text is one of those apparent contradictions in the Scripture. If, as his word says, God does indeed know everything, then how can that same word also tell us he will remember their sins no more? Well, apart from the cross, this makes no sense. But in the light of Christ and the cross, it makes perfect sense. The cross changes everything for us, because it changes our relationship with God because of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross is the altar upon which the Son of God performed the high priestly sacrifice that visited the eternal wrath of God on the one who shed his blood. We can't forget that. That's what happened at Calvary, on that altar where God glorified his Son. He took all of his wrath, the wrath that you and I deserved, and poured it all out on his one and only Son. Our epistle today from Hebrews says, "So also, Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, 'You are my Son. Today I have begotten you.' As he says also in another place, 'You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.' In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek." The altar of the cross is where Christ the Messiah, the Son of God, appointed by the Father to be both high priest and sacrificial lamb, was made perfect. That is to say, the altar of the cross is where his mission to save the entire world was accomplished. On the altar of the cross, the perfect one, without blemish or spot of his own, bears all the wrath of his Father, all the punishment for our sin, the eternity of it all, crying out, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He allows himself to suffer and die and to be buried. And as he does so, he cries out, "Tetelestai." It is finished. My work here is done. The perfection of God has been sacrificed for the perfection of sinners. And being himself made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation, of perfection, to all who obey him, for all who heed his word, for all who believe in this sacrificial saving work. And because of this perfect sacrifice, Dear baptized children of God, the God who knows everything, including each and every one of your sins, even the ones that you don't know about or the ones that you don't even think really are sins, because his beloved Son sacrificed his perfect life for you on the cross, this God who sees the darkest, most secret things of your soul, forgives all your wickedness and remembers your sins no more. What is the worst thing that has ever happened to you in your life? Just think about that for a moment. For those who are quite young, it might be something fairly simple, something that others might not think was all that difficult, but for a young child, a toothache or an earache, or having your tonsils or your appendix removed is a pretty big deal. When you're in school, failing a test or getting a bad grade on your report card, as you got a little older, maybe into the teenage years, could have been a bad breakup with a boyfriend or girlfriend. And of course, as we get older, those worst things seem to get a little more serious all the time, don't they? It could have been a bad car wreck, maybe a heart attack, perhaps cancer. What about the death of a grandparent or a parent or a spouse? Well, all of these are bad. But what's kind of funny, a little ironic about it, is that even in the midst of all of these bad things, when you're going through that, if you were to get a sliver or a paper cut or stub your toe or get poked in the eye, if even just for a moment, all of the rest of that will completely disappear. You'll forget all about it because all you're going to be able to think about is that sliver or that paper cut or your throbbing toe or the fact that you just got poked in the eye. That horrible situation in life, it's still there. But again, at least for a moment, you're not really going to remember it. So, now that you thought a moment about what the worst thing is that has happened to you, let's just think for a moment about what is the worst thing that could happen to you? Death? Well, no, not really. Virtually any parent will tell you that the worst thing that a person could possibly have to endure is the death of their child. It's just wrong. Our children are supposed to outlive us, aren't they? And whatever the cause, whether something sudden and tragic, like an auto accident, or being killed in war, or if it was the result of disease, you know, at any age, cancer, perhaps the mother suffered a miscarriage, or perhaps even chose abortion. But whatever the cause, the death of a child is something you never forget. I think I can safely say that for anyone who has been through that, not a day goes by in which they don't think of that experience. And therein lies the answer to how God could remember our sins no more. He has suffered the loss of a child in giving his one and only Son to die for us. And that Son, now risen from the grave and ascended to his right hand, pleads on our behalf, "Father, remember how I suffered for them? Remember how I poured out my very blood for them? Remember how I gave my life for them? Remember how you took all of your hatred, all of your wrath, and all of your vengeance against sin and sinners, and you took it out on me that day on Calvary, on that cross? Father, forgive them. It is finished. Forgive their wickedness. Remember their sin no more. And with that reminder of his son's death, with which our Savior pleads for us without ceasing before his Father, that is the only thing that his Father sees when he sees us. For the sake of his one and only crucified and risen Son, he sees us as his children by faith in his grace poured out for us in word and sacrament. Yet anyone who would dare to call upon him, to seek his face, or to attempt to walk through the gate of heaven apart from faith in his Son, returns to the wickedness that has been forgiven. Anyone who would insist upon calling attention to his own good works, his own merits, no matter how helpful and kind they may truly be, but trusting in them rather than pleading for mercy in the name of God's sacrificial lamb, calls back to the Father's mind what had been forgotten, the sin blotted out by the mere mention of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Look at the cross, dear brothers and sisters. The cross isn't just a symbol for us of our faith, a reminder of Christ and of what he has done, but in fact, when we look at the cross, we see an image of where God's life intersects with ours. The crossbar, that horizontal piece, represents our life as we walk the earth, our relationships with other people. The standard, the upright part, is the ever-living God coming down out of heaven into our life. And it doesn't stop at the earth either, but continues down into the grave and even to the very depths of hell, so far has God come down to be one with us. And at the center of that cross, where the two meet, the very crux of it all is Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Son of Man. In Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit to be born of the Virgin Mary, God and man had communion. Communion by which God took on human flesh to die for us and risen from the dead to the right hand of that Father. That communion continues in Christ's church with his baptized holy people. Here in his holy Christian church, the one true God-man communes with his people and unites them with him, that is, with God, by the power and work of the Holy Spirit. The chief service of the priest is to offer sacrifices to God for the sins of the people. There is but one who can truly do this, and he has done it. It is finished. The Son of God took on human flesh to serve as high priest and to give his life as a ransom for many. And he's still doing it, offering his life to you. The life made flesh in the body and blood of the God-man Jesus, once offered as a sacrifice to appease God's wrath, is now also made sacrament for us to deliver us from our sin and death and into the ever-loving arms of our Father and the everlasting life of the Spirit in the kingdom of heaven. So, dearly beloved, look not only to the cross, but also to the font and to the altar. Jesus is here at the center and the crux of it all for you. Wherever he speaks, indeed, no matter what direction or by whatever means he speaks, faith must look there. So wrote Luther in the Large Catechism. By these holy sacraments, the Lord makes himself known to all his people, forgiving their sins from the least of them to the greatest. When we point to ourselves, we insult God and condemn ourselves by our boasting. But when we look to Christ, the Father sees his Son as well. He sees his Son on the cross, and so he remembers our sins no more. God grant you such faith ever to see him there on the cross, as well as delivered to you in his church through word and sacraments, and also through you to the world in which you live, even as he welcomes you to heaven and forgives you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.